come to the end of this series, but not really the work. I was thinking this week about how it is that we make sense of our lives. Gosh, there's so much that happens in the course of our life. There's so much that happens in the course of a daily life, much less the community, the things that happen around us, that happen in our workplaces or at school, and certainly the world, Haiti, Moscow. And I was thinking about how we make sense of who we are in the midst of all that. How is it that we come to an understanding about who we are and how we are to be, how we are to live and work and be? And I was remembering being, in new places. Maybe you remember going into a new job or starting school. My youngest daughter is here. She's a freshman in college. There's nothing quite like being a freshman in college, is there, Kayana? I mean, look at her face. She's like, no, and don't talk about me, Dad. Don't talk about me. Dad, please, man. I won't. Much more. So, I remember being in, going into that new context. You probably do too. It's like, how is it that I'm supposed to, how do I dress? How do I, behave? What are the cool kids doing, right? What are the employees of the month doing? I mean, certainly there are people that are, the kind of like institutional organizational power, like bosses and teachers and, folks like that who look to set a tone. But also we look to, and, it's smart to kind of like look at what they're asking us to do. But we're also looking at our peers, the people around us, like, hey, did you see how they dressed and what they did and how they... When I went to college the first couple of years at home, and then I went off to school and was kind of thrust into that world. This was in the 80s. Do y'all remember the 80s? Now, at that particular time, at that particular school, there was this fashion trend that was going on about wearing really loud prints. Do you remember that? They were called jams. Do you remember jams? You remember jams, yeah. So I, I didn't have a lot of money and I didn't really have a lot of sense. So I went shopping one weekend and I found the most obnoxious, loud, yellow field base of jams. And I had maybe the whitest legs ever recorded. I still do. I'm in the Guinness book. And so I'm like, I'm going to be cool like all these other people are. And I went I put my jams on and I went outside, which was a mistake. It was a mistake because I was embarrassing myself, and I realized that maybe some of the things that you see on other people are not necessarily going to work out for you, for me. Anybody learn this lesson? Oh, come on, put your hands up. You know this. All right, so there are people, however, that are influential on us, but we have to kind of like pick and choose our way through that, right? So if you remember what it was to be a freshman and then to go back a freshman in high school, being a freshman in high school, that's a twisted mind space, right? Because you're trying to make sense. And then if you ask a sophomore, senior, junior, what's important they will tell you different things. And they will cite different influences, right? I have been down that road, and that was stupid, right? The yellow jams, my example, but we all have that. Are you with me? So, who is it that we follow as Christians? Now, I have had the privilege of spending time with you talking about some of the basic fundamental practices. It doesn't cover all of them. We didn't talk about fasting, for example, but we talked about some essential practices over these last few weeks of what it is to be a follower and friend of Jesus. Now, on the screen here, you'll see them. And this is probably the most succinct version of it, that we practice worship. We certainly do that as we are gathered in this place together, but also in our private prayers. So worship and prayer. We work to grow, and we do that through study, listening for God with an emphasis on scripture reading. We look to try to put our life into service, including acts of justice and kindness to the people around us, service to God and to other people. Giving, we talked about in terms of taking the resources that we have in our life, including our financial resources, and putting that to use generously towards God and others, and sharing our faith through deeds and words, sharing our faith in God, saying, this is what I understand, this is what I believe, this is what my experience has been when I have been down and down. We share our faith through, and we talked about this last week, we share it about who Jesus is, but we also talk about what our faith community provides for us in the midst of all that. Now, one of the most fascinating things about the work that Adam Hamilton has done in this was the he said he was writing the book, he finished out most of the chapters, and then he got to thinking, oh, how does this test out in the cross? That there it is. In fact, if you look at what happens, what Jesus is saying, a bunch of what he's doing as well, on the cross, you see these things played out. You see Jesus, who we say is the pioneer and perfecter of our faith, right? That's the role model. That's Jesus taking up his cross. That's the same Jesus who says, follow me. Remember this image? We showed this image a few weeks ago when we were talking about the understanding of Jesus and how we have different views. This is a reflection of one artist projection of what a first century Palestinian man, Jew, would have looked like. It's as good a kind of stand-in for Jesus as we have. Very different from the long hair and the blonde hair and blue eyes. But if you think about what is happening on the cross, all of this is played now. My God, why have you forsaken me? That is a prayer that is rooted in the fundamental understanding that life is hard and there are moments that we're going to feel separated from God. God may not necessarily be separated from us, but that feeling is there nonetheless. Oh my gosh. I am at the bottom of the pit here. How could God be here? And that feeling comes from the 22nd Psalm, right? Right before the Lord is my shepherd, right? Right before the Lord is my shepherd, Psalm 23 is Psalm 22, which begins, what? My God, where are you? Why have you forsaken me? Now, you need to keep going and read the rest of that psalm, because that psalm becomes a prayer of praise. but it is also a prayer of feeling that absolute separation, which Jesus obviously must have been experiencing on the cross. That is his prayer that is rooted in the worship life that he grew up in. He was a good Jewish boy. He showed up for synagogue. He showed up for the teachings. He also was formed in the scriptures that were put in front of him. You know, at the beginning of his ministry, he asked for a scripture from Isaiah to be rolled out. He finds the place, he puts his finger on it, and he reads it to say, this is today, this is what's going to go on. Later, as he is on the cross, he says, right from the Psalms, Psalm 31, into your hands, I commit my spirit. That's right at the beginning of Psalm 31. He is not just simply kind of saying, oh, help me here, I'm a mess. He's remembering what has been formed inside of him, how he has grown inside of the scripture life of his faith community. He goes on and does the work of making his way through the crucifixion. Even though he was saying to Pilate, you know, if I said the word, 10,000 angels would come down and rescue me. But nevertheless, I'm going to do this. I'm going to enter into this death and this horrible, brutal death. Why? Why does he do that? For you. I mean, if you look and think about what a gift, what an act of self-giving and service that is. Can't do it ourselves. I don't know that we would want to. And towards the end, in the midst of all of this, you see him taking care of his mother. He's serving his mother by attaching one of his followers to her. This is now your mom. Serving from the cross. And in one of the most remarkable moments that we have, we see him investing very precious energy into the thief that is next to him. I mean, to be crucified is a horrible act. You basically have this whole business of being, pinned down by those nails, but you also are having trouble breathing. And in order to speak even, you have to lift your body up and push against all those wounds and invest an enormous amount of what precious little energy that you have left. Right? And so there is this back and forth going on between the thieves on one side and the other side. Hey, you know, if you're Jesus, why don't you come down from the cross? You remember the smart kind of guy on one side, and the other guy says, leave him alone. You know, he doesn't deserve what he's... And then he says, Jesus, remember me, right? When you come into your spirit. And Jesus lifts himself up, does what he needs to do to try to, kind of put up the words. And he says, today we'll be in paradise. You'll be with me. He's telling them, this is what is for you. I don't know what happened to the guy on the other side. Maybe he heard that too. That's my best hope. From the cross, Jesus is witnessing to the power of forgiveness in the kingdom of God. So I have to tell you that I began my work with you when I started last summer feeling convicted to preach and to work through this series of five practices. Not because I walked in here and thought, "Ooh, what a mess." Didn't think that. Okay. I know that thought would kind of come around. It's like, "Ooh, he really was worried about us, you know?" But no, I did feel like having been a pastor for 20 years within a United Methodist context and having worked with folks in other denominations and faith traditions, we still struggle with these five things. I felt convicted that we needed to kind of come back to the basics of remembering these things. And that's because there are some things that we like and some things we don't or we struggle with. Okay? Let me kind of blow that out a little bit for you. There are some things, like some people love Bible study. You might know a few of those people. They might be sitting in this room right now. It's like, give me my next Bible study fix. Right? But when it comes to perhaps serving, or giving, I'm not really sure about that. And I'm not going to show up for worship except for when it kind of, you know, seems interesting. That is not an indictment of anyone. Please don't hear that. But I know that we have this tendency to let things get out of balance and some things not to be taken care of, kind of like needing to go to the gym, right? In fact, if we think about our bodies have to be in balance for them to be working the best. When we go to the doctor and feel pretty good, except for that little bit of this and that, but my doctor runs blood tests on me all the time. I don't like her for that. I mean, I really appreciate my doctor a lot, and to have medical care is an amazing gift, right? And some people don't have that. But then she's like, okay, well, we need to get this blood test. And I'm like, and so, you know, recently I had some numbers come back and it, you know, indicated that something was significantly out of balance. I can ignore that. I can just let that go, you know? It's like, oh, forget that. That was a bad day. Or I see the specialist on Monday to deal with those weird scores. Because, you know, if one part of your system, one part of your body is out of whack, then the other parts will follow suit. Medical professionals know this. People with bodies come to know this. You have a car, right? You have a car. You may have like the best engine. You may go out. Have you ever known people that clean their engine, right? They power wash, they spray down the engine, and it looks gleamy and shiny. Mine's covered in leaves, by the way. But there are some people that just, you know, go out and they work, and they're changing the oil every, you know, 2,000 miles. You know, well, who does that? And they do all this, like, work on their engine, and their tires are bald. Or they're getting, you know, they're looking good, they're feeling good, and their windshield wipers are blown. Right. So the system has to be all kind of integrated and working together. Or what happens? You get out of whack. You get out of balance. And you find yourself needing, struggling, stumbling. Worship and prayer. Growth, including study, serving, God and others, giving to God and others, witnessing about who you are in the love of Jesus Christ and in the fellowship of our community. Those are fundamental things. Jesus does it and says, follow me. So your homework, such that you choose to accept it. I love how I say, and your homework is like, I'm going to look at it, you know. I think we all look at each other's homework, don't we? Your homework is this, to follow the one on the cross. This week, we will follow him from this parade of hosannas into a parade of crucify him. We will move with him into the Last Supper and see him spend time reminding the community about what it is that God has done over time to save them over and over. In fact, going way beyond what is even known and expected. We will follow him into that upper room, and then we will follow him into the Garden of Gethsemane, where he is abandoned even by his closest friends, and he is also put into a place of being betrayed. We will follow him into the Sanhedrin. We will follow him into his trial, into his mock trial, into the moments where he will be crucified. He will be tortured leading up to that. He will be mocked. He will be torn apart as a person. He will spend a lot of his last energy carrying the means of his own death. He will be brought outside of Jerusalem. He will be taken up to an outcropping, and there they will assemble the cross. They will drive nails into his hands and feet, and they will hang him there in the air. All the while, he's thinking about me and you and the rest of our humanity. Not just the nice ones, not just the cleaned up ones, not just the ones that we have thought, well, they're good. We're good with that. Not just the ones that speak our language, not just the ones who love the way we love, not just the ones who find themselves on a particular political line. We have to stop that. We have to find that there is this absolute love that we follow onto the cross and through it. Because just as much as Jesus takes those steps all the way through, he finds his life coming to an end. He enters into a place that we dare not even go and goes further than that in solidarity with the brokenness inside of our lives. He goes even further than that. And on that third day, he rises past everything that we say we can't overcome. Everything, every bit of it. So your homework, follow Jesus. This I say to you in the name of the Father, the Son, Holy Spirit.